Twisty, for example, has answered those. Chillamuth determines what is and isn't morally good by the effects it has. Well, Noam Chomsky approves of you, Chillamuth. But something might seem appropriate locally. But then, yeah, so like kind of activism, like holding up signs and kind of getting on TV and yelling about how crazy Australia in that case is, deregulation of offshore drilling environmental impact is. But if the effect is people say, oh yeah, you know, those people think that the oil companies are making money like this, something about taxes. So New Zealand did a bunch of tax cuts for no, this isn't very relevant. Long story short, we're also not doing a good job. I think this stream looks fine from my perspective. I'm gonna keep trying to soldier on. Into. I was going to do a kind of selected biography of Eric Sandwall to kind of finish this arc of many, many weeks or a month, I guess, of exploration kind of. So Eric Sandwall was, well, I'm going to now try and biographize Eric Sandwall. So in 1974 to 75, Eric Sandwall was a guest lecturer or something like that at MIT. So kind of the East Coast Lisp folks, Eric Sandwall was kind of around during, I guess, Mac Lisp era. And let's just kind of pass through a bunch of time. And eventually, after a couple of other institutes and maybe a university I'm forgetting, Eric Sandwall ends up a professor at the University of Linköping in Sweden, because I believe Eric Sandwall is from Sweden. Northern Lights says, hope is a hell of a drug, I guess. Yeah, JLMO, the Doom one that really stayed with me, and I forgot who tooted it on the Mastodon was. You know what? It's not even going to be close. but that's why we're combining on the Lispy Gopher Climate. Everyone, basically, all the damn good cyber chatters in SDF Commode chat. Oh, we're powered by SDF Public Access Unix, who do anonradio.net, as well as tubenext.org, we mentioned before, whose web and gopher domain, I guess, would be sdf.org. It's classier to go to gopher.club. I think gopher.club just points to sdf.org. Something like that happens. Thank you very much, the Superdimensional Fortress itself, for allowing us to be here. But we were going to do a kind of Batman-esque reboot of Captain Planet, where if I understand correctly, we all combine our powers and we kind of produce Captain Planet, but we're like doing either a campy or grim reboot of Captain Planet with our combined powers, which will also appear in my kind of proposal later in the show, which I think, well, is a kind of unilateral mitigation to some of the climate crisis. But Eric Sandwall's biography. So Eric Sandwall, and you can see this in the late 70s, in their work in the late 70s. Eric Sandwall in the 80s described themselves as being kind of a sort of prototypical member of the Lisp AI approach to programming, where, and I think this was why I've sometimes kind of felt incomplete as a Lisp programmer, was that the habit of people programming in Lisp was basically to surround themselves with deliberately anthropomorphized human-esque computers, whether it's the programmer's assistant in Interlisp or many other ones. And Eric Sandwall's concept was of software individuals. Shorter says, we need a better theme song than the Captain Planet one. Yeah, we're doing a reboot, Schroeder. We can do it ourselves. Northern Light says, Captain Planet. Ingrix hopes we can figure a way out, even if it kinda sucks. And we're pretty good at making tools and creating problems. I've read too many Fausts together. But yeah, so this is why I'm optimistic about kind of our powers combined, kind of here. I'm going to try to finish my Sandoval biography. So Sandoval's concept was software individuals, where people always want the idea of kind of machine learning. And Sandoval thought people were using this idea completely inappropriately, where you mean press one button to perform one subjective optimization in one highly technical and specific scenario once, which is often what machine learning seems to have come to mean. And Sandoval, kind of time travel a little bit, is expecting machine learning to look more like what when Sandoval watches his grandchildren kind of growing and changing and figuring the world out and solving progressively harder problems through experimentation. Sandoval kind of thought that this is what machine learning is going to be like. And so Sandoval had this concept of software individuals, which sort of replaced the idea of a program. And it's kind of a collection of agents get bundled into one individual. And this individual has to have a life at least on the scale of years in order to kind of learn about the world and then later have chances to try out kind of new solutions to problems that happened in the past. And so Sandoval's kind of work was the software individuals one. And this takes a sudden and kind of tragic turn in 2005. So at the University of Linköping, Sandoval was kind of in, or maybe the head of a research group, where they were developing these software individuals who were intended to pilot autonomous aerial vehicles, or sorry, unpiloted aerial vehicles. But what their research group was meant to be doing was just the kind of brain part of these. So they never actually gave them the kind of controls to fly the plane themselves. This translator from what the AI wanted to do in the plane to actually controlling the plane or unpiloted aerial vehicle, that bit never got developed. But the kind of sophisticated software individuals that could be placed into these planes was an extremely developed concept. But I think this was mostly a funding mechanism for Sandoval to kind of continue their kind of Lisp legacy of software individuals. So kind of cognitive artificial intelligence or technocognitive intelligences. But then in 2005, this was defunded, and I cannot overemphasize what a catastrophe this was for the world, that what it looks like to some degree is kind of Sandoval's life work was sort of vanished by this funding vanishing. Gemlog writes Linköping University with an umlaut, which I'm probably failing to pronounce. And then after 2005, so Sandoval only retired in 2010, though he's still listed as active faculty at Linköping. From 2005 to 2010, Sandoval's new kind of area was opening up science and the kind of peer review process. My feeling was that all this work on kind of opening up science, and so open access stuff, but also open kind of what are the possibilities to get peer feedback in an open science world, which isn't just kind of pay to publish or kind of throwing your research into a silo that it just can kind of quietly vanish in. Yeah, this was my sense about what sort of befell Sandoval, and I think that Sandoval is kind of reacting to their life's work sort of kind of going away. And so we were kind of digging through the University of Linköping's kind of has these ancient web pages that are still up. And they talk in present tense always. And they just have little kind of dribs and drabs of zip files of Common Lisp around. And this is where like we dug up pawn 74, pawn 12, pawn 9, pawn 1, novice 5. And so novice 5, I think, is meant to be the starting point for new software individuals. but it's either Allegro Common Lisp or GNU C Lisp based, and I didn't have a C Lisp environment kind of prepared. As you know, I was like feeling very passionate while I was reading Sandoval's extremely kind of intense and large cognitive systems intelligences textbook, online textbook draft from around 2010 to 2014 when I think the last updates to it happened. What's happening in STF Commode chat? Yeah, so I haven't tried it yet, but I'm really excited for Novice 5 and to some extent Pawns 12 and 74 and 9 and 1. Where I haven't found... So one thing, just to actually say something I believe Eric Sandoval would actually want me to say is, Sandoval does say, don't try to write this entire system yourself. This is my life's work. I've created this for you. Take this and run with it. And also note, these programs have to have lifespans in the years for this idea of human-like intelligences to be meaningful. And then kind of Eric fades into this sort of obsession with opening up science to stop kind of bits of science and kind of research traditions from just being banished. Like, the reason I'm kind of bitter about this is I was looking at Linköping University today, and they kind of just sort of slid out any references to Sandoval's kind of life work. And so I might be projecting a little bit here, but I was very worried about that. But software individuals. Super cool. Do you think my audio is still working? Am I still live? Does anyone know? People are talking about Publius in SDF Commode chat. Publius is the Man and Adam Society. Also SDF show-er, or anon radio show, and also on the Mastodon at Publius at mastodon.sdf.org. So when I read these Mastodon... Sorry about that. When I read these Mastodon URLs, so to go to like the web view of my Mastodon would be mastodon.sdf.org/@ScrewTape. Inky's one has a bunch of Unicode characters that I'm not familiar with the language base of, but you can get there on a link from mine, or just search for @Tanakian on tubenix.org. Gemlock says the audio is fine. Jay Lamoth can hear me. Gemlog links us to https://liu.se/en/employee/ERISA03. Yeah, I started calling Eric Sandoval ERISA as a nickname, because that's clearly their login, or was their login at that university. There's some technical discussion of nuclear power, which I believe to be extra promising right now. Oh, I saw a friend. I ran into somebody. We've gone off script. Whom I studied physics with many years ago, and they became a high school teacher. And they said that in their high school science class, grade 11, I think, they were teaching about kind of mining of peat bogs for fertilizer for farms, and kind of the CO2 impact of doing that was kind of one of their examples. And this definitely is a travesty, and particularly relevant to New Zealand's heavily mined restayed peat bogs. And New Zealand has these weird super above ground kind of peat mounds that sort of grow out of not tangle fern, but some kind of above ground cane forms peat bogs. Oh, goodbye, Ionic. Welcome, Ionic, in SDF Commode chat. I forgot to mention you before. Okay, let's put a pin in that topic and try to get to what I was going to suggest about Lambda. And so, As you know, from DJ UNK and I's other show, which is Gen House, Gen Bonkwave, where we share Bonkwave music, and basically look at what Jay LaMope has done most recently in inside the Moo of Lambda Moo, where a Moo is like a mud, so multiplayer, persistent kind of video game worlds. But like Lambda Moo isn't really a game, though you still call people logged in players. Hang on, let me just read out Alex Lem's link to Tonakian. So https://tobnix.org/a/Tonakian, pronounced inky. But, I think Tonakian might mean inky if you go through languages properly. How funky is this in the background, incidentally? No, so on the topic of Lambda Moo. Yeah, so it's just a persistent text-based virtual reality that's been running since 1990. So it's been running for 35 years. And it started as basically an experiment to see what thousands of people would do if they were just allowed into a virtual reality and kind of took up residence there. I'm planning to physically move there next week is my plan, because while I've been dabbling, I basically haven't been doing very seriously, you know. Basically, Jay LaMoth opens a sushi bar. Welcome, Tanakian, in SDF Commode Chat. Thank you so much for this music, and thank you for your music that you've been making. I've been enjoying you for years now. Tanakian, or Inky does other stuff. Like, you can see Inky's kind of photo channels. I think they've got three different channels on the TubeNix. Wonderful and interesting person, and great live electronic musician, kind of doing, and yeah, in their videos, so do watch the videos, because you can see them working with different kind of waveforms in a graphical environment. It's extremely cool. Ratsu also confirms, very funky. The thing is, Lambda Moo is so good, and so Moo stood for MUD, where MUD was from the games, multi-user dungeons, so these kind of could be a persistent world with arbitrarily many players internet worked in, and then object oriented, so there's a prototype based object system in there, which is kind of very sophisticated. And as Kent Pittman pointed out the other week, the permissions system inside Lambda Moo is extremely sophisticated compared to the kind of chmod permissions that are used in Unix like operating systems. And I think the reason it can do this is that there's one persistent world, kind of the main Lambda Moo instance, and that Lambda Moo instance is able to do more interesting things with user permissions than any given install of BSD or Linux is able to do. But I'm going to get to my kind of thesis idea. So I think there are two areas, my community, this is you specifically, everyone listening, that we can kind of have at ourselves relating to the climate crisis. And I'm sorry for how I'm going to cast these, because basically the problem is kind of the plutocratic capitalist kind of running of our governments is sort of what we're addressing. But one source, massive source of climate destruction is going to be extreme consumption in high-income countries. However you want to refer to high-income countries, you could maybe say Western countries to some degree, but that might not be the best description, because surely there are kind of Western places that are basically not high median income countries. And so if we can just move our personal consumption sort of progressively out of the country that we happen to find ourselves in with an irresponsible government and into Lambda Moo, which was conceived of as and still is a kind of new place and an immersive whole life kind of wrapping in new place, we can kind of replace the extreme damage of high-income country per capita consumption. We can personally just kind of remove ourselves from that, but we have to be consuming, sorry about the term, kind of meaningful things in our lives inside, really, like going to Jay LaMotte's sushi shop on the corner of Queens and Boulevard in Tiny Town in the Lambda Mill. Rather than going to a physical sushi shop, I realize we still need to eat, but if you're getting your kind of luxury and kind of meaning out of Lambda Mill, we simply have mitigated a one person in a high resource consumption per capita country. And there's a second side to this, which is in low-income per capita countries, which are basically where the plutocrats get their labor for their environment destruction. And so there's an inducement to people who are kind of in the low-income country kind of team of wanting to mitigate climate change. The monetary, in this horrible capitalist world, the monetary cost of removing yourself from the labor force in low-income countries and becoming essentially an artist and architect inside Lambda Mu, it's more approachable to do that. And so I'm kind of imagining people in low-income countries sort of becoming central artists of the Lambda Mu kind of life and times and kind of new world. And their art and creations fueling high-income country people to remove themselves from their local consumptive culture, which is extremely damaging to the environment. So if we can remove low-income labor from low-income countries, and they can come and be the architects and artists in Lambda Mu. And as Lambda Mu becomes even more vibrant. So it used to have thousands of active users and now only has hundreds of active users, basically. People can also drop out of their consumptive culture. Sorry for this extreme theorizing. Oh, so I can hear something happening in my flat that I probably wanted to avoid in the background here. So that was kind of my idea. And so I'm personally moving into Lambda Mu. And Kat has also been joining me in Lambda Mu, as well as Jay LaMotte. Do you think it could handle that much load? Jay LaMotte, I think yes. Well, I mean, our personal impact, what could we possibly... I think if we can get to thousands of Lambda Mu users, similar to the 90s, basically it got a big computational improvement at some point. I don't think it's that historical. Like the hardware, it got a big hardware boost at some point, even though things like your kilobyte limit of space is still kind of classically low, so that the current Lambda Mu still resembles the 90s Lambda Mu when storage was more expensive. Ionic 8827 says, as a matter of fact, there's an old heavy oil-powered power plant in Mosby, CA, in the process of being demolished. Well, that's good news. People are talking about PD whiskeys. And I had a few more ideas here. And so one thing that I thought was going to be important, because so it is a text-based world, and as we can kind of learn from I thought from the Common Lisp Interface Manager, where it's very clear, computers really, really, really want to trade in structured textual symbols, or like, so kind of normalized strings. Computers really, really, really like this depiction. And if, and so I thought kind of my personal goal of contribution to this is that I would like an Emacs mode driving JNS's Eternal Game Engine to optionally display fan art of the place that you've gone to inside Lambda Mu. And I think that's gonna go a million miles. I was actually in a hospital waiting room and somebody brought over their kid to talk to me about computers. And I say kid, but adult. What it turned out this guy did was he was a member of a team for a Patreon-funded visual novel, maybe adult visual novel. And so these are actually really, really in the cultural zeitgeist. And I thought just having a client that displays fan art of a location, and you could display fan art of characters at the location. If you haven't been inside Lamdimu, go there, and what I'm saying will make sense. And objects in your location in Lamdimu. I think if I can add a kind of fan art displaying, and for audio purposes, fan audio displaying client, which I'm imagining as an Emacs mode, because I use Armu Emacs mode as my client. You could also use Tiny Fugue. I think this could be great for everyone, and I'm kind of hopeful about this, to the extent that I'm going to physically move myself to Lamdimu next week, because I've been kind of dabbling too much. I want to really live there. All right. JNS says that would be so amazing. You know what else is amazing? Watch JNS's recent demo of like their kind of, I forgot what you named this, their kind of debug mode environment creating stuff, because now there are reflections, and so they're in kind of a castle hallway with tapestries on the walls, and the drinking fountains mounted on one of the walls really, really reflect like the torchlight and tapestries and things. It's very, very incredible. Peacepal says you could travel from Indiana to $100, but you could travel to Lamdimu for free. Anyway, thank you so much for being here, everyone. Thank you, Pomivost. Thank you, Christio Twisty. Thank you, Northern Lights, Pizzapal, JNS, JLamoth, Gemlog, Ionic, 8827, Ingrix, everyone else who's been around, Alex Lem, Tanakian, DJ Inky, Deep Dark Inky Sets. Sorry about my kind of crazy dialogue over your show. Inky has given me blanket permission to mix up their music for the Lispy Gopher show sometimes. So we're going to have more of Inky's music in the future. Sometimes Fugue State Audio's music, sometimes Inky's music, or whoever else votes or offers themselves. All right, thank you, and good night, good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Did I miss anyone? Thank you, Yeti, if you're still here. Ratsu, I always forget. Well, I always remember. Your presence is implicit. Cat is the one that I've forgotten. All right, thank you, everyone, and see you next week. I'm going to kill my mic, but leave the music on for another 2 minutes. I'd forgotten Schroeder and JWH, probably many other people. Kent Pittman, at Kent Pittman at climatejustice.social. Bonus story. Louis Brower had been here, but I mentioned that Louis's web search into Gopher, so https://gopher.emacs.ch, wasn't finding my ice casting FFmpeg reference, and then Louis just vanished, and I imagine has been working on it. All right, goodbye everyone, for real.